Inside Mac.
Welcome to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and we got a very cool show lined up for you today. We're going to talk about a lot today about digital imaging. Cool stuff going on there. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program brought to you by Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4. You can check them out at micromat.com. DVD XDV. If you have MPEG-2 content on a DVD and you need to pull it off and get it into your Macintosh, you can edit it on an Avid system, Final Cut Pro, you name it, iMovie. Check them out, DVDXDV.com. We have MCE Technologies, the place to get upgrades for your PowerBook, G4 for the SuperDrive, for your PowerBook, for your G5, 8X, 4X, 16X, dual layer, cool stuff there, MCETech.com. And, of course, our partners, Creative Pro, for the place to get all the cool tips about creativity. If you're doing stuff in Photoshop, Dreamweaver, you name it, these guys have tons of forums, hundreds of thousands of members. Pretty cool resource. You need to really check them out, creativepro.com. Printing for Less, the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program. So check them out. These guys do cool stuff. Traditional offset printers. Great price. You can send these guys any file. Doesn't matter. A Word file, something in iWork, Pages, whatever. They'll print it. They'll help you, too. It's pretty cool. So check them out, printingforless.com. Mac Update, the place to get your software updates for the Mac. If you want to get your updates quick, fast, get in, get out, not have to deal with a lot of garbage and ads, you can check them out at macupdate.com. And, of course, our buddy Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister, his show, The Digital Production Buzz, Thursday evenings from 6 to 7 p.m. live on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. So as I was saying, we have a pretty nice lineup. We have Philip Hodges here coming on in the next segment. We're going to talk about all the digital post-production buzz news of what's going on in post world here for the past week. After that, we're going to have Andy Shallot on, the Mac Design Out-of-the-Box Tip of the Week. He is our author from the Inside Mac Press. Also, after that, we're going to have Sam Levin and his Cool Mac Picks, talking about all the cool things going on in the land of Macintosh, all the nice new goodies. Later that, we're going to have Kevin Ames, a legendary digital photographer from Atlanta. Kevin's got a couple new books. He's revved his new book for The Art of Photographing Women. He's been doing some shows. He's got a bunch of stuff going on. So we're going to talk to Kevin about what's going on with Kevin, things in the digital photography industry. Then in our second hour, we're going to be joined by Ben Wilmore. Ben is basically the king of Photoshop when it comes to digital photography. So Ben just got done with a show here in Florida. We'll talk about what he's doing there. Just did a deal for the cats at Knapp, and then we'll see what else Ben up to. Actually, Ben has the bus is coming. We'll just leave that one at that. You can hear about what's up with Ben and where's Ben.com. Later, we're going to have Lorene Romero. We're going to talk about the Inside Mac Radio Party Rattle. We had a nice little party there at Macworld at the Renaissance Park 55. So Lorene's going to come on and talk about that. And maybe if we get a chance, we'll touch on a little bit of user group news because she's like the queen of the user group. So Adrian Mayo, later on in the hour. Adrian Mayo, the editor of OSX FAQ. Adrian's got a brand new book out on Unix. So we're going to talk to Adrian about the brand new book, 101 bite-sized tips and tutorials. So Adrian's going to come on. We're going to talk about that. Maybe have a little Unix tip real quick. Maybe an OS 10 tip. You never know. Then later on, like I said, second hour, Peter Kern, createdigitalmusic.com. Peter's the head webmaster and runner over there. He's got a brand new book out, published through Peach Pit. We're going to talk about, though, with Peter today, the NAMM, the National Association of Music Marketing People. They had a big show in Anaheim about 2.5 weeks ago, and we're going to talk to Peter about what was cool at NAMM, cool stuff for your Macintosh, and digital music, and even talking about digital music, Apple has released Logic and Logic Express now as a universal binary, so you can actually use Logic or Logic Express on a brand new MacBook Pro or the new iMac Intel Duo. So cool stuff going on there, and you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. I'm your host, Scott Shiver, coming to you from the Inside Mac Radio studios in beautiful San Francisco, California. Next up here, Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com. Macintosh for the new millennium.
This
is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Micromat, makers of Tech Tool Pro 4 and the brand new very cool hardware solution called Protégé, basically a 1 gigabyte FireWire flash drive that's got OS X on it. It's got Tech Tool Pro, it's got their partitioning software, it's got some other goodies on it. Plug it in your Mac, boot right off of this thing, fix it. Very cool. One best to show at Macworld. Check them out, micromat.com. Right now we're here with Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. Hello, Philip, how are you?
I am terrific, Scott. Because it's between trade shows, it's kind of been a slow news week, but the most important thing I think during the week was that Panasonic have dropped the price of their P2 cards. Now, they did say that this would happen, that the prices would go down. But back in December when they announced the A3X200 and that would be shipping, the card was $2,200 for the 8-gigabyte version. That's $2,200 for about 8 to 20 minutes of record time, depending which format you record in. Well, they just dropped that down $800 to $1,400. That's 36% down in about a month and a half.
That's pretty good. I wonder if they're going to see these things drop even cheaper.
Hey, if they go, they'll be paying us to take them by mid-year.
There we go. That's what I like to see.
I presume the bundles are going to drop as well because they were offering two cards and a camera from $9,995. Just under 10 grand. That should take it, if they applied the full drop to the bundle, that should take it down to about 8,400, maybe 8,500, depending on how they go. Still not a match for tape, but it's a very nice price, and it's certainly suggesting that it's going in the right direction.
What have you heard from the HVX200 and word on the street and people using them? And I mean, you're at every LA Final Cut Pro user group meeting with Michael Horton and these cats, and I mean, you're right there in the buzz of the whole deal. What do you hear?
Nobody in LA's got one yet that I've known, but I got a buddy down in Gainesville in Florida who's just taken delivery of one, and he's pretty darn happy with it. It's just a little bit noisy, but he's overall pretty happy at the moment. Nice camera, and actually over at DV.com, you'll have to sign in, but it's a free registration. They have a comparison of all four of the affordable HD cameras. Now, they're only comparing the camera component, not the entire system, so it's not going to give you any indication of whether HDV or DVC Pro HD is a better fit for your particular needs. But they compare the cameras, and some of the results are quite nice. I won't steal DV.com's thunder, and Adam Wilt's excellent article over there, but it's very accessible, and head on over there to find it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard pick between these four cameras. I've looked at some stuff, and some people are saying that the JVC is actually rocking pretty cool, but then, I mean, look at the Canon, does HD SDI out, so.
Yeah, I kind of like the Canon. Well, the Canon, though, is kind of unusual. I think the Canon is really, it's an HD studio camera, or better, a field production camera, with a recorder thrown in. And that's really the way they've configured it, whereas the others are designed to be standalone cameras.
Yeah, and I have to think that the Canon's probably got the best glass on it, but I could be wrong.
Canon, you usually does have the best glass.
Yeah.
Hey, you know how useful Kinko's is to do input and output and many other shops like that? If you don't have a scanner or you don't want to print a whole banner and you don't want to just buy a $12,000 printer to do one-off banners.
Right.
Well, Digital Service Station is a feature that was opened down here in LA a while back by Alpha Dogs, and it does much the same thing because, we can put together an entire HD system for well under $10,000 with storage in Final Cut Pro, but you have to add a minimum of $25,000 up to $200,000 for a deck to feed it. And that doesn't make sense.
No,
not to mention the
it
screen
doesn't.
And so, well, you can go to the Digital Service Station and they will input it for you, or you can be there and do it, and they will output again. So you can come in, bring a FireWire drive, copy everything to your RAID, come back with the output, a single project file or a media managed project, and they will output it. Well, they have now opened in San Francisco, so all you northerners can take access to advantage of this as well.
That's a great service, and I wonder what these guys charge. Let's say if you take down a DV tape, just a regular DV tape, and say, here, put it in your deck and log this thing, because I don't want to sit here for, here's four tapes, I don't want to sit here for 4 hours and watch this stuff log. What these guys charge.
Along the line, you're going to have to watch it for 4 hours to log it, because there is no substitute for logging. I don't care if you get every frame in captured in the computer. If you don't log it, you're still going to waste a lot of time, even with 4 hours of material. The more material you've got, the more you've got time to log it. But you can find the San Francisco office at Miller Film and Video. They're a long-established post-production company. They have all the facilities. It's probably cheaper than renting the deck, but it's probably more expensive than doing it yourself if you already own the deck.
I guess the deal isn't just buy a HDX200 and you don't need a deck.
Well, that's true.
Unless you got a PowerBook, a new Mac Pro, now you can't plug your P2 card in the side.
I know. Doesn't that blow?
Yeah, what are they going to do about that? I mean, have you seen anything that actual... I'm assuming someone's going to have an adapter to that little teeny little card.
We'd think that having some adapter from the 34 Express 34 card through to the standard PC card would be a logical product for somebody to come out with.
I would think so because, you know, I mean, how is Panasonic, they can't change the format size just to work around Apple's PowerBook, MacBook, whatever you want to call it these days.
The thing you carry with you. No, I don't think they will, and that's pretty fixed. So I'm imagining that there'll be an adapter so that we can use it with it. No problem.
Yeah. News from Avid.
DNX Exchange. A nice little hardware box that sits on your SDI input to your facility and on the output at the same, and converts everything to their DNX HD codec so that you can run HD across your existing plant as if it was standard definition. These are very high quality codecs that Avid have developed, and they will put them, you can use them to, as I said, put HD across a standard definition plant. If you've got a Unity running in standard def, or if you've got any of the other storage area network solutions, this just makes it transparent to do HD in and out straight to your DNX HD codec. Not something for like you and me to use, but something in at a cable plant or at a TV station that already has an Avid system installed. This would be a great bonus. Not cheap at $10,000, but hey, if you need it, it's cheap.
What's the, do you know what the bit rate is? I mean, with this new compression codec from Avid?
It varies depending on which format you go from about 120 up to about 240, I think, the maximum 1080 60i or something like that.
Wow. Pretty interesting. And it's only $10,000. That's cheap from Avid.
we expect more higher prices from Avid.
I was expecting like $40,000 or $50,000, but hey, you know, only 10, that's a deal.
Indeed. Indeed it is. And we have speaking of HD, it seems that we're going HD at one end and we're going small distribution at the other end. And coming up on the Digital Production Buzz this week, we're going to be talking to Frank Chidamo, who is from Fun Little Movies, who have been working for now 3 years targeting content specifically for small phones, small screens, the cell phones in particular. Now, Frank was going to be on the show a little while ago, but at the last minute he had to have meetings with a company up in Washington State, up in Seattle. So he got out of there before they lost.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with those cats. But, you know, that's an interesting thing. We should talk about this later, is the creating...
Content for a small screen. It's a very specific... technique.
It's huge in Asia. You know, it's huge in the Asian market, like in Japan and that kind of stuff, because, you know, NTT Docomo and all these guys are doing this huge amount of video on the cell phones. But look at the iPod. It's a small screen, too.
Indeed it is.
Different production, so.
Different production. How do you manage it, though, if you want to look it on the small screen and on your TV? That gets tricky.
There you go. Hey, thanks, Philip. That was Philip Hodges, the Digital Production Buzzmeister. You can check him out at digitalproductionbuzz.com. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepherd is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and this part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by DVD-XDV. So if you have content on a DVD and you want to pull it off and bring it into Final Cut Pro, an Avid Nitro system, iMovie, you name it, you can do it. Check them out, DVDXDV.com. Right now we have Andy Shallett with us. Andy is the author of Mac Design Out of the Box, one of the Inside Mac Press Fine Qualities of Macintosh books. How are we doing there, Andrew?
Doing well. So what's up, Scott?
We want to talk about fonts today. Design king. You wrote the book on Design Out of the Box. Let's talk about fonts. Why does this matter?
Well, I think what we want to talk about, I mean, everybody knows about fonts, everybody uses them, but when you're using a font, generally we take them for granted. I mean, most beginner designers, for instance, will take fonts and just twist words around it. If I'm going to design a logo, for instance, and that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about fonts as design elements, not necessarily as type, because there's a big difference. You know, I mean, you have type when you want to read something and it's content and it's, you know, the New York Times or something and you're reading and you just want to get through it. You're not really looking at the shape of the letters. You're not looking at the serif or non-serif and things like that. But when you're a designer, you have to. And what you have to do as a designer is you have to train yourself to look at type, not so much as type as the letter, but as the form of the letter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
The idea that if we can use type as a design element, that's how we can help to design logos. So what you have to do is you have to train your eye to not read fonts, but to look at fonts, which is a very difficult thing to do, really. I mean, most people just take it for granted. There's your headline, you just read it, it's bigger or it's bolder or something, but you don't see the actual beauty of the fonts. And one of the big mistakes that most designers make at the beginning is they take these fonts for granted, and they don't twist them or turn them the way that they can or the way that they should. And a lot of beginner designers will actually take fonts and squeeze them sometimes. I don't know if you've seen that where, you know, like they make them thin or they make them tall or something. And I think that's also a big mistake, because when you're designing something, a font is well designed, if it is well designed, then it's got its own integrity. And it's a design element that has its own integrity, just like a drawing or an illustration. And if you treat it like that, you can use it to your advantage in a logo. Am I making any sense?
Oh, no, completely. I mean, look at, just an example, look at the Coke logo.
Right.
It's just a font.
Now, you don't really, you read it, but you don't read it. Exactly, that logo type with the swirl. You're talking about the old-fashioned one, the Coca-Cola. They have like three or four of them, if you look. Diet Coke has its own, and they're all related, but they're designed separate from the actual font. You can't even find, let's look at Apple. Apple's logo, the old original Apple logo, is a form of a Garamond, but it's not a Garamond. It was designed specifically for Apple.
Really?
They took the time to do that, so that it's not something out of the box, to coin a phrase, but something that they actually designed on their own. It stands separate from a Garamond that you might use to write something afterwards underneath it. You know, like if you're doing a web page or a brochure, you have your logo, and if you can treat that as a design element and not necessarily as just type, it's to your advantage.
Yeah.
It's a little academic today, I guess.
Well, no, it's good, though, and it gives you something that actually, even now when people can walk around, they start looking at stuff, and you need to actually look at the font more than just reading what you're reading.
Exactly. And that's another thing. When you're designing these things, if you're designing a logo and then you want to have the words underneath it, a lot of people make the mistake of using the same typeface that they used for the logo, which will sort of take away from the logo's integrity itself. Everything on a page has its own integrity as an element, as its own design element. It should stand alone. And if you're going to use the same font in the logo and then in the content, you're going to blur that distinction. So what you want to do is you want to use a variation of it, but not necessarily the exact same thing.
Yep. Hey, thanks, Andy. That was Andrew Shallot. You can check out all his great things going on. Just go over to InsideMacRadio.com right there on the right. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
Whenever my systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity.
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Informal.
Informative.
In front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh. This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by MCE Technologies. You want to upgrade the DVD burner in your PowerBook, your G4, your G5, to a nice new fast dual-layer super drive. Check them out, mcetech.com. They're also an Apple-authorized reseller, so you can pick up iPods over there, PowerBooks that are completely stuffed and loaded with all the goodies, more memory, bigger hard drives. Direct from MCE, full factory Apple warranty. Great stuff, mcetech.com. Right now I have Sam Levin with us doing his cool Mac picks. How you doing, Sammy?
Well, yeah, hey, we're doing great. Lots of cool new stuff. More and more recording stuff coming out for the Mac, of course. Why? Well, because of iLife 06 and because of podcasting. It's bringing everyone out of the woodwork, everyone that's, you know, just like M-Audio. Now they've got Podcast Factory and so on. It's just fantastic. It's got new company. Actually, they're not new, but new to the scene for podcasting, called Marshall Electronics. They've been around for a long time. I'm sure, Scott, you know who Marshall is.
Oh, yeah.
They've come out with MXL desktop recording kit for the Mac. It's $149.95. It's got everything you need. It's a really nice, it's a line-in mic. It's white. It's even got what's called an eye booster to boost the line levels. So as we know, when you plug a line-in mic into your Mac, it still requires power unless you're using USB. So this gives you that boost signal. It's pretty cool. It comes with a stand, all in a really unique little hard carry case, so you could travel anywhere with your Mac, and you've got an instant recording studio, especially with GarageBand with iLife 06. It's called the Desktop Recording Kit for Mac. It's $149.95. You can check it out at www.mxlmics, that's M-I-C-S.com. I think it definitely hits the sweet spot. And on that note, with hardware, Matthias, our friends up in the blustery Canadian slopes there, have come out with a couple of really nice keyboards. They're called the USB 2.0 keyboards. They are available in black or white for the Mac, and actually, if it's both Mac and PC. But what's unique about this is it's got USB ports on the front and on the sides. So if you have a Shuffle, you could plug it right in and sync to your Mac or PC with iTunes. I think that's kind of unique. I like it. The keyboard is very, very smooth, and it's inexpensive. It's $39.95. Shipping is only $5. I think it's pretty nice. So check it out at www.matias.ca, and of course, CA stands for Canada. What else? I present it from Zaptec. These are our friends that have made very cool Apple scripts for the iPod and Mac. So for instance, I present it allows you to take any PowerPoint or Keynote file and import into your iPod Photo, iPod Video. So if you're doing a presentation, you can now import any PowerPoint or Keynote file into your iPod, travel with that with your video cables, and you've got your instant presentation kit. I think it's pretty cool. It's well worth $17.95. He's just working on a beta to support iLife 06. I tried it last week. It works. I think it's great. It's from Zaptec, called I Present It, www.zaptec.com. Zaptek.com. Also, Keynote Pro has come out with new line of themes. We had them on a few weeks ago, I believe, Scott. He's got a brand new theme for the iPod. So check it out at KeynotePro.com. Lots of other cool stuff.
Cool. Thanks, Sammy. That was Sam Levin and his cool Mac picks. You can go to InsideMacRadio.com for more information. We'll be right back.
Thanks so much for listening to Inside Mac Radio. Isn't this great? Hey, it's David Lawrence, and I'd love if you would listen to my podcasts as well. I've got two of them. One is a podcast for my countdown show, the Net Music Countdown. You can get it at feeds.feedburner.com/NMC. And then I have a second one for those of you that listen to online tonight or the David Lawrence show. We've got the nightly podcast, and that you can pick up at feeds.feedburner.com/PN. So there's two of them for you. And now, back to more of Inside Mac Radio.
The
momentum for your Macintosh.
Scott Shepard
is Inside Mac.
Record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac Radio show was brought to you by Creative Pro. Are you a creative person? Do you create things in Flash, Go Live, Illustrator, InDesign, Photoshop, you name it? They have everything for you at Creative Pro. Check them out, creativepro.com. Right now we have our buddy, the legendary Kevin Ames from Atlanta. How are we doing, Kevin?
I'm great, Scott. How are you?
Good, buddy. So tell us, what's Kevin been up to lately? There's been so much stuff going on here, and
Well,
we haven't had a chance to talk with Kevin.
My new book is out, and I'm just really having a lot of fun with it. Digital SLR photography with Photoshop CS2, all in one for dummies.
They should make the title longer.
They were going to say all in one desk reference for dummies, and I said, you know, we're not going for a world record here. So they left that out. And it concentrates on the new RAW workflow, as well as being a basic primer on how to use a digital SLR. It goes over apertures, shutter speeds, what they are, what they do, and gives the reader an exercise as they can do to practice what all of those different functions on a camera do. And you know, the deep, dirty secret, Scott, it works on film as well. So people that are still shooting film can actually learn how to use a camera reading this book.
Yeah, that's and you know, people, you know, we don't think about it very much, but there's still people shooting film.
Yeah.
A lot.
Now, why you'd want to shoot with the stuff you wake up with on your teeth in the morning, I have no idea.
This is true.
You know, hey.
So what else is Kevin
doing? This is news. We're announcing this right now.
Okay.
I am in the process. I'm working on it. I'm in the process of updating the art of photographing women. So that will be out this summer. So it's going to be
cool.
Photoshop CS2, The Art of Photographing Women. So that's coming.
That's good. That book sold very well, didn't it?
It did really, really well. The publisher wants to do a new version, and like I say, I'll have all the writing done pretty much by the end of this month. So it's exciting. Have you seen Lightroom?
I haven't played with it yet. I haven't even seen it. I've had the guys on from Adobe at Macworld talking about it, but I haven't had a chance really yet to play with it. What do you think of it?
This thing is so cool. It's Mac only right now. Ultimately, Adobe will write it for Windows as well. Right now, though, it's Mac only, and it's a free public download. It's a free public beta right now. So any of our listeners that want to play with this amazing program, it's kind of like Aperture on steroids. So it's a really, really well-executed product. And I think it's going to. I think we've got some good, healthy competition going between Apple's offering Aperture and Adobe's new Lightroom. And our listeners can go to adobe.com and click on Lightroom and get a free download.
Now
it'll time out eventually, but they can actually see where Adobe's headed with it, and it's pretty solid.
Now, have you had a chance to play with Aperture at all yet?
Oh yeah.
What do you think?
I have, as a matter of fact. It's a good program. And I think it's extraordinary for a version 1 release. I'm hoping that the feedback that we're providing to Apple will be taken to heart. And I can see some definite improvements that they could make. And I think for a first version release, it's really solid.
Yeah, so that's cool.
What else is going on, man?
Any shows, Kevin Bindu? You've been going on anything lately here? Or you just been sort of hanging out at the studio there in Atlanta?
Working. Been hanging out at the studio for the last month doing work. I have a client in the studio right now, and we're taking a break from the shoot while I talk to you, and then get right back to that. I was down at Photo Fusion in Delray Beach. That was very exciting, and I've got an upcoming workshop March 6th through 9th on retouching, and I'm going to be in San Francisco on Saturday, March 25th for the ASPP convention, and people can go to ASPP.com and look at the convention, and I'm going to be teaching digital workflow there on Saturday morning, and I'm hoping I'll get out in time to sneak over to the studio and be with you.
Yeah, now tell us about ASPP. This is a show that a lot of people, you know, you don't hear a lot of buzz about this, but what is ASPP?
They are a group that does photo education, and again, really people would want to go to the website and check it out. It's really kind of interesting. This year they're doing the Making of the King Tut exhibit, which is sponsored by the National Geographic Society with photographers Kenneth Garrett and Margaret Burnett Stodinger. And there's also a stock photo session. This is on Friday, sponsored by Adobe with James Alexander. And then Trudy Levy is doing digital asset management. And James Wood, who is the director of photography, Trends in Photography, is doing a session. Then I'm doing two sessions on Saturday on digital workflow, which includes Camera Raw, Metadata, Bridge. And then they're going to be getting involved in licensing models and rights and some other things. So it's a really interesting program. And the ASPP, again, ASPP.com. So people can go and check it out. I think it would be really fun. March 24th and 25th.
Now, are you going to PMA this year?
I am not going to PMA this year. I'm busy writing that book. I've got to get that done. So I'm going to not be at PMA, but we're looking for exciting things. It's going to be interesting to see. I haven't heard any real buzz, but there's been buzz out there that Nikon is discontinuing a lot of its full-frame lenses, which sounds like they're going to be committing to their small APS sensor size format.
Yeah, and why would they do that? I mean, Canon's got two cameras out now with a full-frame sensor.
You know, I believe it's a business decision, and I'm not sure that it's the wrong one for Nikon. They have incredible lens technology. They're really good at building the digital lenses, and they have really paved the way on using the small sensor in really high pixel counts. That's Canon. The D2X has a 12.8 megapixel sensor that is 1.3 magnification factor, and that's the same size as the full-frame 5D from Canon. So they're packing a lot of pixels in a really small place, which gives amazing resolution. And since you can use shorter lenses to get the same relative effect that you would in 35 millimeter, you get increased depth of field, so focus becomes less and less of a problem. So it's certainly a viable format, and you've got to give Nikon props for striking out and blazing a path that a lot of people would have shied away from.
Yeah, now that's something I want to talk about. That we were at Photo Plus in New York City. It was yourself,
right?
me, and Vincent Versace.
Right.
And you were having a conversation about Vincent about sensor size versus depth of field versus Canon versus Nikon.
Right.
Maybe you can sort of explain what we were talking about, and you had just mentioned something about it just now with the sensor size of the Nikon versus depth of field, and how does this matter when you got a full frame sensor and this, and then Nikon's got a small one, but there's a crop. How's all this work together?
Well, it's one of those things that's really kind of difficult to wrap your brain around. The easy way to explain it is if you take a 35 millimeter slide, which is a rectangle an inch by an inch and a half.
Right.
And that would be the full-frame Canon offering as an example. If you put a 200-millimeter lens on that and make a photograph, and you've got that inch by inch and a half, then you take the APS size, which is like maybe 3/4 of an inch by an inch, and you put that inside, the image inside the APS area is exactly the same size on a 200-millimeter lens. So while you've got a lens magnification factor in order to convert it to 35 millimeter,
right,
making the lens seem longer, it has exactly the same depth of field. Think of the 35 frame as a wide field version of the APS size sensor. So where you pick up depth of field is that you can use a shorter lens to get the same amount of information on the APS size frame. And the shorter the lens, the more effective depth of field. But depth of field is identical for lenses the same focal length. And that's what Vincent and I were talking about. And it's one of those kind of esoteric things about photography that you really have to wrap your head around. And at the risk of making a shameless plug, I really go into this in detail in the Dummies book. This is really not a book for dummies. It's a book for people who really want to learn in a step-by-step way. It's just under the Dummies brand.
Right, that actually is good because it gets your book into places like, big box retailers.
Not only that, but I've got universities that are looking at it to use it as a textbook because it explains how photography actually works. It's not one of these, you got to buy this brand of camera in order to make great pictures. Canon's featured throughout. That's because they were willing to supply the cameras. And it works for every camera. So, photography is photography. Optics are optics. And the rules apply no matter what you're capturing them with.
Yep, this is very true.
So, I'm going to see you at Photoshop World?
I believe so. Are you going to go to Miami?
I am going to be speaking in the theater in Miami.
Hey, Kevin, why don't you hold on one sec here? We're coming to a break, but why don't you hold on a second? We'll talk about Photoshop World and a couple of these other gigs coming up here. So you're here with Scott Shepherd. We have Kevin Ames with us from Atlanta, the legendary digital photographer and the author of Photograph Women Using Photoshop CS and now CS2. We'll be right back here with Kevin Ames. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio Program.
Creative Planet Communities present the Digital Production Buzz.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Production, post-production, distribution. What's really happening now and in your digital future? The Digital Production Buzz, live Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific. Archives and podcast immediately after.
Inside your life.
Business.
Your home.
Inside
your world. This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Mac Update. Do you want to get all the cool stuff updated on your Macintosh and make sure it's happy and healthy? All the new software, check them out. MacUpdate.com. So, Kevin.
Yeah.
Before the break, we were talking about Photoshop World. You're going, yes?
I am going. I'm going to be speaking in the theater this time.
Yeah?
I've got two classes in the theater, and I'll be there the entire time, do some work at the help desk, and probably work with Wacom as well. So I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I've got some other workshops coming up.
You do?
People will want to go to workshop.org and check out the offerings. I'm going to be teaching three classes down in Delray Beach between now and June, week-long classes. The first one is coming up March 6th through 9th. It's a four-day hands-on class on retouching portraits and the secrets of retouching beauty. So we're going to be doing some of the techniques that are in my book that I'm updating, you know, Photoshop CS2, The Art of Photographing Women. And we're going to show techniques on how to actually do portraits of gnarly men like me.
Oh, very good. So you can fix all the ugly guys up like us, you know.
Well, Scott, you are the epitome of handsome. You know that.
Yeah, right. Okay. You and I
have faces for radio. That's why we do this.
Yeah. You know, that's what I always like, that plugin, these plugins I have from Kodak that I don't remember the name of
pretty.
Them. Pretty plugins.
Yes.
They can make anybody's skin creamy, smooth, and plastic looking. It's so fun.
Yes, you too can be Barbie.
Yeah, why not, you know?
So anyway, those are some of the things that are coming up. I've got a book that I'm just about ready to sign a contract on, and the next time I'm on, we should have that done. I'll be telling our listeners about that. That will be coming soon. So there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, there is. You know what I'd like to see, too, is, you know, sort of off topic, but not really, but PMA. I wonder if we're going to see anything new from Sigma.
No. Which is one of the reasons I'm not going to be there, is because their new offering is not ready for PMA. Now, there's an outside chance that they might have something ready and call me at the last minute, and I don't think so. And there is something in the works, and that's all I know.
Yeah, I know there's something coming, but we're hoping sooner than later, but that's okay. I haven't even figured out how to use my SD10 correctly yet, so.
That's an amazing camera. It's one that I keep in my repertoire because occasionally I have to shoot fabrics that tend to moré on everybody else's camera.
Uh-huh.
Of course, on the SD10, there's no moré because of that three-chip technology that Foveon's built in to their silicon chip. It's truly an amazing camera, and I highly recommend it to our listeners. It's a great, great tool.
Yeah, I
and
dig
it's supported
it.
In Photoshop CS, CS2, yeah.
Well, that's one reason I haven't been playing with Aperture, because I don't have anything that shoots RAW otherwise.
Yeah.
So I have to play with Lightroom, because at least Lightroom, you can deal with it.
Yeah, actually, it does work, because I've loaded up a bunch of those X3F files into Lightroom, and it works just fine. So people want to check out Lightroom on Adobe.com. If they want the direct URL, it's labs.macromedia.com/technologies/Lightroom, and I'll get you that link so you can put it up on the Inside Mac Radio website.
Very good. Very cool stuff there, Kevin. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Talk to you later. See you in Miami.
Of course. Thanks, buddy. That was Kevin Ames, the legendary digital photographer. Been doing this stuff since they started doing digital. I mean, he's been around forever. So you can check us out, amesphoto.com. Kevin's a great guest. He's got a very cool book, and that book is a nice book, both of them. Good stuff there. Kevin will be at Photoshop World. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. Next hour here, we're going to have Ben Wilmore live from Florida on his way back from Graph Expo and been doing some cats down there. Loreen Romero is going to be on. Adrian Mayo, one of the authors of Inside Mac Press. We're going to have Peter Kern on from Create Digital Music talking about the National Association of Music Marketers show, the NAMM show in Anaheim. So you're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. We'll be back in a little bit.
Hi, I'm Linda Weinman, the founder of Lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A.com, and the producer of the Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival, which is happening February 27th through March 2nd in Seattle, Washington at the Washington Convention and Trade Center. The conference has been in existence for 6 years and has had over 20,000 attendees during that time. Adobe is the platinum sponsor of the event this year, and the Seattle show marks the first public event since the Adobe acquisition of Macromedia was finalized. Kevin Lynch, Senior Vice President and Chief Software Architect of the Platform Business Unit, will be delivering the keynote at Flash Forward. As well, Adobe has created an Adobe Technology Room where you'll get to meet with the Flash, with the After Effects, and the Audition development teams. If you're interested in learning about Flash video, you'll find all-day workshops covering everything from codecs to bitrates. For those animators who use Flash, be inspired by the founder of JibJab, the Chapman brothers who created Homestar Runner, and the team from Hallmark Cards that make stories for Hoops and Yo-Yo characters. If you're interested in creating games, we have sessions that deconstruct the Nintendogs website and sessions on creating your first game and gaming logic. For those who are into motion graphics, we'll be celebrating 10 years of ResFest with founder Jonathan Wells, showcasing work from Digital Kitchen and Jacob Trollbeck. Or perhaps you're interested in an all-day workshop on Flex 2 and ActionScript 3, or you still can't wrap your head around ActionScript and want to take a workshop on that. We have legends speaking like Larry Lessig on digital rights and Creative Commons, April Griman, one of the premier graphic artists in the world. Our International Film Festival showcases the best Flash work on the web today. Our sponsors and exhibit hall bring the best tools out there for the Flash developer and designer. Check out our program at www.flashforwardconference.com. If you do decide to join us, which I hope you will, take $100 off the price by entering Inside Mac for 3 and 4 day passes. If you want to immerse yourself in Flash, learn about the future plans, meet the top developers and designers in the world, the Flash Forward Conference and Film Festival is the place to be.
You are Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. We take a lighthearted look at all things Macintosh, and we've had some very interesting guests on the show today. This part of the Inside Mac radio program is brought to you by Printing for Less, the official printer of the Inside Mac radio program. Do you need to get stuff printed, business cards, flyers, brochures, presentation folders, you name it. If it's ink on paper, these guys do it. Check them out, printingforless.com. We had some cool stuff going on today. Give you a little rundown of who we had the first hour in case you missed any of it here. We had Philip Hodges on. We did the Digital Production Buzz News. We were talking about Panasonic. They lower the pricing on their P2 memory cards and this whole solid-state workflow. Cool stuff going on with that deal if you're into high-definition video, something you want to look at. There was a story on about over at DV.com, comparing the cameras. Pretty cool stuff. We had Andy Shallot on, author of Mac Design Out of the Box, one of the Inside Mac Press authors, talking about fonts. And what to look at. You're not just looking at words. You need to look at the font as more of a design component and not just a font. Just not making a word. When you walk around looking at stuff, start looking at logos and signs and actually look at the font itself and not so much just what it says and read it as a word, but look at it as a design element. It's pretty interesting stuff. So you can check out more of what Andrew's up to at shallot.com. That's S-H-A-L-A-T.com or insidemacradio.com. We had little Sammy Levin on talking about his cool Mac picks. So Sam went over his review of what he thought was the cool picks and the new cool Mac goodies for the week. And then, of course, Kevin Ames. Kevin is a digital photographer based out of Atlanta, Georgia. We talked about his new books. Got a couple new books going on. We also chatted a little bit about sensor size and depth of field. And I know Kevin and another one of our buddies, Vincent Versace, were having a little heated discussion over this when we were at Photo Plus in New York City last October. So that's a very interesting deal. We'll see if we can get Vincent on here. Maybe we'll talk about that some more. And I don't know. I don't know why Nikon does not make a full-size, full-sensor camera, but I'm sure they have their reasons for it. It'd be interesting to have someone on from Nikon and actually talk about that and why you don't need a full sensor. Maybe you do, maybe you don't, but then Canon makes full sensors. So, but then again, Canon makes their own sensor chips, and I don't believe Nikon does, but I could be wrong on that. But I know Canon makes their own sensors, so maybe that's just part of their whole plan is they make their own deal. So why not make a bigger sensor? How much more could it cost money-wise? So, interesting thoughts there. Later on today's show, this hour, we're going to have Ben Wilmore on. Ben's going to be coming to us from somewhere in Florida. He just got done with Graph Expo. Did a gig for the guys over at KW. And we're going to talk with Ben. The bus is coming. So we're going to mainly talk about what's Ben up to and his bus deal. So he's going on the road. Ben's the king of Photoshop when it comes to digital photography. Teaches tons of classes on Photoshop for digital photographers and a lot of stuff going on with that cat. And, you know, he's pretty cool and he's a great instructor. So we want to see what Ben's up to. So we're going to have Ben Wilmore on. Later on, we're going to have Lorene Romero on. We're going to talk about the Inside Mac Radio Party wrap-up. We had a party at Macworld Expo in San Francisco at the Renaissance Park 55. So we're going to talk about that, thank our sponsors, and see what's up. And I think we're already planning on the next Inside Mac Party for next Macworld, since it looks like they're only doing one now. San Francisco. No East Coast show. It's like a whole year now between now and Macworld. But there's so many other things going on that you can have plenty of shows and conferences to go to satisfy your needs if you're a Mac user. Definitely cool stuff. We're going to have Adrian Mayo on this hour. Another author of the Inside Mac Press about his new Unix books. We're going to talk to Adrian. He's also the editor of OSXFAQ.com. And then, of course, to wrap up our second hour here, Peter Kern. Peter is the webmaster and head music technician guru dude over at createdigitalmusic.com. Peter went to the National Association of Music Marketing Convention, the NAMM show in Anaheim about 2 weeks ago. So we're going to get a NAMM report from Peter. Talk about the new Logic and Logic Express, now dual binary. So that's great stuff there. You're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up, Ben Wilmore. We'll be right back. Do you want to find Macintosh software updates faster? Do you want to do this without paying a yearly fee or a site bogged down with tons of advertising? Do you want your software update site to offer you a free membership featuring custom watch lists, email update notifications, custom layouts, and more? Do you want to have the latest 15 Macintosh software updates streamed to your menu bar? Now, do you really want to know who this great website is for the best Macintosh software updates on the planet? It's MacUpdate.com. Check out MacUpdate. Visit www.macupdate.com.
Inside your life.
Business. Your home.
Inside
your world.
This is Inside Mac with Scott Shepherd.
With Scott Shepherd.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by the Digital Production Buzz of Philip Hodges. You can check out everything they're doing at digitalproductionbuzz.com. Right now we're joined by Ben Wilmore somewhere held hostage in the state of Florida. How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great.
Good. So where are you at now?
Graphics of the Americas was down in Miami. And right now I'm hanging out in Delray Beach, Florida, and I fly home tonight. So at Graphics of the Americas, I had two sessions that I did, both of them kind of full day. One was my Photoshop for Photographers event, and I did another one, Photoshop for Graphic Designers, which I haven't done in quite some time.
Wow, that's interesting. You're usually doing all the photo stuff.
Well, lately that's been my passion and my focus, and so I've been concentrating on that. But sometimes those designers get kind of ignored because photography is going through their revolution right now, and graphic designers went through it decades ago.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
So the classes that you just did, these were for Graphics of the America cats, or you did these for Kelby and those guys?
Well, it was kind of a combination. The Photoshop for Photographers was for the Kelby group, KW Media, and those guys. But it was in association with Graphics of the Americas. You had to go get a badge for that kind of, you know, that event. And the other one I did was for another guy. His name's Barry Anderson, who does the
Creative Suite conferences, and that's the one I did the graphic designer show for.
And this is the one that was at the at Delray Beach?
No, both of these were down in Miami. I just happened to be in Delray right now. So what happened was I was teaching 2 days, and in between each of those, I was actually up shopping for motor coaches.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We've been talking about this for quite a while, and you finally have your house now. It's on MLS, so arrivederci of normal living, and you're going mobile.
Yeah, what's happening is I'm under contract on my house, so I have a buyer who's pre-qualified, and we've gone through the inspection, and he didn't really bring up any big problems in the inspection, and I'm scheduled to close on March 16th. Also, I was looking at buses while I was out here on this trip, and I found one that I liked, and I put down a deposit on it. And so, if barring any unforeseen circumstances, my new adventure should begin on March 16th.
So what did we find for a new coach? Tell us.
It's a 40-foot, what's called a Liberty. And so it's a commercial bus that's converted into a motorhome. And I'm not buying a new one. The new ones are way too expensive. They're multi-million-dollar coaches. Instead, mine's a 1997. And on the outside, it looks pretty much brand new. And on the inside, it looks gorgeous. It's kind of a honey-colored wood cabinets with black accents, and looks great.
Wow! Now this is a real bus. So this thing, and now tell people, do you need anything special to drive this, or just a regular class driver's license will do it?
In general, you just need a normal driver's license to do it. You do have to really relearn how to drive, though, because in a normal car, your front tires are in front of you when you're driving. And then you have a big hood hanging out in front of you. On a bus, the front tires are behind you. And so you have to really get used to pulling way out where it looks like you're about to almost hit something and then turn. It kind of have to relearn how to drive. And you also have to learn how to really look into your mirrors to know where you are. So.
But I'm sure you get the hang of it because this is going to be your new gig. I mean, you're not just going to get this to go on fun trips. This is your new mobile environment.
That's right. I sold my house, and I'll be living full-time on the motor coach starting March 16th, and I think the first event that I'll be able to drive through will be Photoshop World coming up, and that's March, I believe it's 21st through the 24th.
Now you've been doing research on this. Are most of these places that we do these shows and we go to these deals, they let you park the motorhome in the parking lot of the hotel or the convention center? What have you figured out for, or can you park pretty much anywhere and just say, this is where I'm at today, go away?
Well, it really depends. During the daytime, you can park in many different areas, and there's much less restrictions on it. It's mainly at night where, you know, there'll be no camping and other signs posted, and then you might need to move from the exact area where you'd want to be in the day to move to just a less populated area to park. Many people, though, bring these to RV resorts and park at those, and you pull a car behind the bus. So then if you park the bus off maybe 10, 15 miles away from where you really want to spend most of your time, then you drive your car over. So during the daytime, you can be going and doing different events.
Now you bought your car for the bus before you even had the bus.
That's right. Yeah, there were some things where there were some ridiculous incentives to buy by certain times of the year, and I did that. And so, I have a little Jeep Liberty that I'll be pulling behind the bus. And now my main thing I need to do between now and in the end of or middle of March is sell all the stuff I don't want to put on the bus. So.
Now, how much can you carry on the bus with you? Is this going to be a big deal, or you got to sell everything that's gone? Goodbye.
Well, I mean, a bus comes fully furnished, so there's no furniture that I'll be bringing in there at all. And so it's more, you know, what clothing do you want to bring? And, you know, I can pretty much bring all my clothes and what books and computer equipment and that kind of stuff. But everything else, I'll be selling.
Now, your bus has storage underneath, so it has these big doors that lift up, and there's, like, through big monster bin areas?
Yeah, there is. If you think about, like, a Greyhound bus or something like that, you know how underneath there are bins you can open up designed to put all the luggage underneath?
Right.
And in mine, a lot of those are taken up by, like, heating systems and the water tanks and things like that associated with having a motor coach where you live in it. But there is one full bay that's completely open that I could fit a lot of things in, and one other bay that's partially you know, some space available, and I can fit a bunch of stuff down to there.
Yeah, so that's where I keep. So, do you going to put like a G5 and all this stuff in the bus, or just run everything off a laptop? And
right now, I'm thinking off a laptop because that's what I've been doing lately. Is right now when I get home, I attach my laptop to a 23-inch cinema display and an external keyboard, and I think I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to set up the cinema display on a swing arm in the bus where I can just swing it out of the way and use the space for something else, and then just swing it back out and put the keyboard down to work in it.
Yeah, that should be a pretty fun deal. I bet you're pretty happy about hitting the road.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait. I really wanted to have it happen before wintertime, but it's fine with me that it took this long, and I can't wait.
Now, do you think this is going to be cool because you're going to be able to actually go out and because you know, you're really into photography, so is this a main deal so you can actually go out and just pull off to the side of the road, go to some, you know, campground deal, go to a national park and shoot pictures and do this stuff, or do you sort of dig this because now you don't have to deal with hotel rooms anymore with shows and you can just cruise around? What's your whole concept between for Ben Wilmore going mobile?
Well, it's really a combination because I'm not going to drive to every single event that I speak at. Otherwise, I would just drive myself ragged because they're all over the country. But I'll probably be able to drive to maybe about a third of the events that I present. The other ones I'll still have to fly to. But for those events where I can drive to them, I'm pretty much bringing my house with me. So it's no longer any uncomfortable hotel rooms or weird noises that you're not used to in a hotel or whatever it is that I don't like. And then in between these seminars, I can be parked near national parks, going off taking photos or going through small town America and checking things out, where in the past I've had to kind of plan a vacation to go and do this, and I just don't do it that often. In this way, it'll be more of a regular event, taking lots of photographs.
You said, I mean, you could take sort of some back highways and just go to some really cool, trippy places and get some great photography, I bet.
Exactly.
And just be mobile.
And I've set up a website that will eventually chronicle my travels, and that's whereisben.com.
Yeah.
That's pretty much nobody will know where I'm located.
Hey, Ben, thanks for joining us today. We're going to see you hopefully here at Photoshop World, if not sooner. And what's your address real quick? How do people get a hold of you?
I have two websites. One is digitalmastery.com, and the other one is my blog, which is whereisben.com.
Hey, Ben, thanks a lot. That was Ben Wilmore, the legendary digital photographer and Photoshop king. Check his websites out. You're listening to Inside Mac Radio program. We'll be right back.
The Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California is home to the world's largest collection of computer-related artifacts, including rare and one-of-a-kind objects such as the Apple I, the 20th anniversary Mac, and the Palm Pilot prototype. For tours and events or more information, please visit www.computerhistory.org or call 650-810-1010.
Momentum for your Macintosh. Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
You wish to leave a record of your call.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac radio show is brought to you by OS X FAQ. If you want the coolest tips for your Macintosh, news information, daily macOS 10 tips, Unix tips, design tips, news from Mac Minute, software updates from Mac Update, you name it, it's all there. Everything you need for your Mac, osxfaq.com. Right now we have Lorene Romero. Lorene is the organizer of the Inside Macworld party that we had at Macworld at the Renaissance Park 55 Hotel. And Lorene's on just giving us a little wrap-up about the how the party went and how'd it go.
Hey, Scott, it went fantastic. It went a lot better than I thought. Great. I mean, I know that you always throw good parties, but this year, you were there. It was extremely crowded, and people had a great time. The sponsors that were there had, they just had a blast. We made sure to invite all the sponsors, and there were people from Microsoft there, Micromat, Mac Speech, Lassie. We had Karen and Renee from Techion. I mean, they were there. Everybody enjoyed all the chocolate. We had raffle prizes going on, different types of questions, people from the audience getting things thrown at them. You had a good time. What was your thought about it?
No, I thought it was a great deal. I think there was, at the start of the gig, there was a lot of people there.
Oh, yeah. Even the woman, the caterer, she goes, all the chocolate's gone. I'm like, well, bring the rest out later, because let me tell you, people love the chocolate idea. So
yeah,
that was a great idea that we had to do that. It was a dessert bar, lots of chocolate mousse. Women really like dark chocolate. I'll speak for the whole women's community. We love dark chocolate. And there was plenty of food, plenty of fun, and it was just a blast. I am looking forward to doing it again next year. Almost all the other sponsors I've talked to said, sign us up. So what does that tell you about you, Scott? They love you.
Yeah, I'm glad they loved the party. That was cool. And, you know, I know we gave away a lot of stuff. Those guys were handing out stuff like two at a time or more.
Oh, LaCie donated a 500 gigabyte hard drive. Nikon gave a Wi-Fi camera. Microsoft gave two copies of Office Professional, which also included the virtual PC version that went with it. Techion gave product. We had Retrospect give product. Everybody donated. Everybody had to have walked out there with a whole bunch of stuff.
That is cool stuff. How did the rest of Macworld go for you? I know you were doing some stuff there. And how did the whole user group, university, and all that stuff go down?
It went really well. I know that I was part of the user group booth that was on the floor for all 4 days, and that was crowded the entire time. They had different user groups participate every day to represent their group. NC Mug was honored again to be asked to be the host group, so we were there all 4 days. And got a lot of exposure. User group community is really coming around. I know that you and I want to work together to be able to have more user group news on your show, to be able to give much more exposure. And if you don't mind, can I give out my email address to have user group contact me to be able to talk about them on the show?
Yeah, please do. Fire away.
It's Lorene, L-O-R-E-N-E, at mac.com. And if there are user group presidents out there or ambassadors, give me an email. I'd really like to be able to help promote any special things that you have going on. I know several user groups have had Katrina fundraising. There's a whole bunch of stuff going out in the community. I'd like to be able to see what people are doing that are just a little bit different and being able to give back to the community. And I know Scotty wants to be able to help promote you.
Oh, of course. Hey, how do people find out more information about your group?
Our group is on the web at www.ncmug.org, and we'll be happy to give you any information that can possibly help you out.
Great. Hey, I really appreciate it. Thanks for all the hard work at the party, and we look forward to the next Inside Mac gig here coming up.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Hey, you're listening to the Inside Mac radio program. Next up here, we're going to have Adrian Mayo coming to us live from the UK, and we're going to talk about his brand new Unix book. He is the editor of OSXFAQ.com. He does the Inside Mac Daily Tips for Mac OS X and Unix. He's a cool guy, too, and he loves beer. So, hey, we'll be right back.
Are you ready to unleash the power of DVD? With DVD XDV, the power is within your grasp. DVD XDV converts your DVDs into broadcast quality video. Video clips from DVD XDV are ready to use in iMovie, iDVD, or Final Cut Pro. To learn more, visit DVDXDV.com.
Informal,
informative,
in front of the industry.
Inside Mac is on. Call Scott now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com. Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Creative Pro. Talking about these guys again, very cool website. Lots of information for creative people, forums, designer tips, tricks. Pretty interesting site. You should go check it out. It's free. www.creativepro.com. So we're trying now to hook up with Adrian Mayo. Adrian is in the UK and having some kind of international telephone difficulty. So we're giving him a ring now and see how that goes. But otherwise, I want to talk about the Inside Print. We have a brand new show that we launched a few weeks ago called Inside Print Radio. It's with Rick Littrell and myself, Scott Shepard. We talk about all things printing stuff, so if you're interested in the printing industry, either you're a printer, a graphics design firm, a communications company, you're into marketing, we're all about printing and communication stuff, so it's a pretty interesting gig. You can check that out at insideprintradio.com. Also, the new article up right now at Macworld about the new Intel Macs. They've been doing more roundup of the Intel Core Duo processing stuff, what their testing labs have found and compared to what Apple has said the specs on. I think they're pretty much right up there. You can check all the stuff going on with these cats over at macworld.com, and I think right at the top of the page there's a that gives a roundup of Apple's Expo offerings, mainly the new books and the other things. So, been a pretty dead news week, too. I know that Lynda.com offers training now for Aperture, so our friends over at Lynda.com, that you're going to be hearing more stuff about them and Inside Mac, is what they do is these guys have online training. You pay for a deal for monthly or yearly or however you want to do it, and all you have to do is, pop in and learn. Great movies. Right now we're here with Adrian Mayo. Adrian, how you doing, mate?
Hello, Scott. I'm well, thanks.
Good. So tell us, you have a brand new book out. Tell us about it.
I do, yep. It's called macOS X, or macOS 10, Unix 101 Bite-Sized Project.
This is a big book. This is like 700 pages.
It's, 650 pages, all full of good Unix-y stuff.
So what does this do? This is based off of the tips over at OS X FAQ, I believe, but these are more expanded tutorials, correct?
That's right, yes. It's based originally from the tips I wrote at OS X FAQ, but it's very much more expanded. The book takes a more project-oriented approach. It's not just a collection of tips. It's a collection of little projects that use Unix commands to solve a particular problem. So it's just showing you how to use these commands in a particular context, not just isolated tips.
Sure. You know, you have a website. We got about a minute left here because we had a little connection problem. So tell people where they can find out more information about the book. You have a website put up there. There's a link to, people can get it. And then, of course, they know where the other deal is. But tell us about the book's website.
Okay. The web address is 101.1.1.com, and that middle 1.1 is the digit 1, the letters D-O-T and the digit 1. It's a bit confusing when you say it out loud. It's easy when it's written down.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Adrian. We're going to have Adrian on next week. We'll talk a little more in detail because we ran into a little technical difficulty over telephone communications between here and London. You're listening to the Inside Mac Radio program. You can check out all of Adrian's work at osxfaq.com. Besides the other site, you can check out the tips of the day, the Mac OS 10, the Unix one, his book, all kinds of great stuff. We'll be right back.
If you want to keep up with the world of Macintosh, there's only one place that will provide everything you need to know, and always first. MacMinute.com is a leading source for up-to-the-minute Mac news. Updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, MacMinute has all the news and industry information weeks before the magazines. Why be the last to know when Mac news breaks? Visit MacMinute.com.
Macintosh for the new millennium.
This is Inside Mac.
Inside Mac.
Get on live now at 800-490-0058 or email us at radio@insidemac.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac Radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by Printing for Less. Do you want to get the coolest stuff printed for your business, your life, business cards, you name it? Great stuff. These guys will print from any file, any folder format. It doesn't matter. Check them out, printingforless.com. Right now we're joined by Peter Kern. Peter is the headmaster over at createdigitalmusic.com, a Peach Pit author, and a really cool guy. How you doing, Peter?
Good. How's it going, Scott? Good to be back.
Yeah, we haven't had you for so long. You've been so busy with this book and all these other nasty little work things, and now you get to come back on. We get to talk about cool, fun stuff now.
It's a lot more fun. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so tell us, two things here. Let's start off, you have a brand new book out. Let's talk about your book first.
Well, the book is called Real World Digital Audio. It is almost 600 pages of information on how to produce music with computers and everything that that means, from producing printed scores, recording, where to put microphones, how to put arrangements together. I tried to cover everything that you could possibly need to know in one book, because I'm finding that a lot of people like me are doing a broader range of things with their computers when it comes to music production.
That is cool. So how in-depth do you get in this book? How big's the book, and how much does this little puppy cost?
I think the list price is $50. The street price is closer to $30. It's about 600 pages plus a DVD. We were able to get into a certain amount of depth, partly because I think that the skill set required to produce music on computers and using associated digital technology is starting to crystallize in some new ways. Things have been moving so fast for so long that a lot of people couldn't keep up. But we can tell you we can give you clear advice about everything from recording to synthesis. There is a lot of this that it is very learnable and manageable.
That is good. Now let's roll into NAMM. This is the big music show once a year. This was in Anaheim about two or three weeks ago. What did Peter take away from them? What did you see that was cool? What's happening in the new goodies and when it comes to music?
Well, there is a lot of good stuff, and I think there's a lot of good news for Mac users in particular. Like I said, you know, after the digital music world have been moving so fast for so long, there's still a lot of new products and a lot of new ideas, but part of what's happening is we're seeing existing products get better. And the one that I was the most excited about is something called Core from Native Instruments.
Yeah.
And it is a hardware and software combination that's just designed to make it easier to play all of your software synths. So for those of us who, either when we're in the studio or when we're even out playing live or are playing with our computer to get access to all these software instruments, it's been really tough to even just to switch sometimes between one sound and another. You've got thousands and thousands of presets on your hard drive. The idea of Core is to make it easier to find stored sounds, to make it easier to switch between sounds while you're playing, layer sounds, and control parameters using this knob box that they ship with. It looks really promising. I've got to actually try the finishing product. It's not done yet, but it's the kind of thing that makes computers easier to play as musical instruments, and that's a trend I'm really enthusiastic about.
Yeah, now what do you think about this new Intel-based Macs, and now we see that Logic, Apple's already released Logic and Logic Express as a universal binary.
Well, that's also turned out to be really good news, and I was one of the people who was really nervous about this when Apple first made the announcement. But what we're finding is, I think this is going to be even easier than the transition Mac users made from 68K to the PowerPC chip. All the developers I've talked to are having a whole lot of luck moving their software over, not only Apple, but most of the software companies exhibiting at NAMM had announcements to make, or at least could say they were working on imminent Intel support of their software. So it's moving really fast. And the other thing that I'm hearing from developers when they talk to me off the record is that they're finding really major performance gains doing the kinds of things that Pro Audio software do. So it'll be really interesting to see once Logic ships and Ableton Live and some other programs that are on their way, how fast they run on these machines. Because even though Apple's benchmarks might be a little bit exaggerated, most of what I'm hearing is really positive when it comes to audio processing.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting that you know, I would think all the audio processing on a G4 or G5 uses the AltaVac, you know, Velocity plugin on the processor, and there's no AltaVac in the Intel chip, but there's a different type of Velocity vector programming deal. So I'm assuming that the Intel stuff's even faster than the AltaVac engine.
Well, I think because of a combination of a lot of different variables. Certainly, you're going to lose some of the gains that you got out of the Velocity engine, but you take advantage of new features like really big cache that both of the processors can access. There are all kinds of bottlenecks that can slow down audio tools. So what I'm hearing from people is that it is going to be a good thing. Of course, we got to actually see it in person, but certainly it's not going to be a step backwards. You are going to see your software, all the major music software, moving over there fairly quickly. So I don't think it would be over optimistic to say by this summer a lot of audio pros will be able to make the leap.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see what happens with that. I'm wondering when we're going to see DigiDesign make the you know, the switch.
I think it's something they're working on. I don't know when they'll be ready. I mean, DigiDesign has been known in the past to be a little bit slow about certifying, but I know it's something that they're working on, and I know it's something that the Pro Tools plugin developers are also working on.
Wow.
One important caveat is if you have the previous version of Pro Tools, what you may discover is that you're not backwards compatible with that. So, for instance, even Logic Pro, which supports DigiDesign hardware, will only support the new Pro Tools 7 hardware. It's not going to support any of the previous Pro Tools systems. If you upgrade to Logic Pro 7.2, the new Intel version.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting.
But aside from the Intel announcement, like I said, I think the bigger news is just that the stuff is getting easier and more accessible to musicians, and that's not only keyboard musicians, for the group that most people think about, but drummers and vocalists and guitarists. One of the products that I really liked the best, just for for its simplicity, is IK Multimedia had something they called the Stealth Plug. And all it is a guitar to USB interface where instead of having to plug a quarter-inch guitar cable into an audio interface box, you've got USB on one end, quarter-inch guitar jack on the other, so you can plug straight into your computer.
That is cool. What else did we see? I mean, you didn't get a chance to go to Macworld, but Macworld had a lot of iTunes, you know, a lot of iPod stuff, a lot of speakers, a lot of headphones, you know, high-end headphones. Did you see the same thing at NAMM? Was there a lot of, you know, consumer-type stuff, or was it pretty much all focused pretty much on hardcore musicians and everybody didn't have a brand-new headphone out?
It was mostly focused on musicians. I think there was a new import series from AKG, but that was announced earlier, so I didn't see a whole lot of new consumer audio products. I think that GarageBand 3 was as big a deal to the folks at NAMM as it was to the people at Macworld, both because of its podcasting features and also because it finally brings video scoring to GarageBand, so you don't even need to upgrade to Logic if you're interested in scoring videos.
Yeah, that is that's interesting. Anything else on any kind of computerized, any USB, anything new in the guitar realm when it comes to actually built-in direct interfaces in a car? And I know Brian Moore Guitars has their USB thing. Anybody else doing new stuff with that? Did you see anything cool there?
I didn't see new USB or FireWire guitars. Most of the guitar products we actually saw announced in the fall. There's certainly a lot of software, hardware, guitar combinations coming out at the moment. Waves, who are known for making high-end audio effects, are coming out with their own guitar package. IK Multimedia is coming out with a new version of their guitar package. Amplitube, Line 6, who are known for making inexpensive guitar hardware, they've got their own computer package, and Native Instruments is their own guitar package called Guitar Rig. So there's a whole bunch of products now going after guitarists and trying to get them to use computers. I think it's going to be those products that'll be the most important, because it means you don't have to buy a whole new guitar to plug into the computer.
Exactly. So then again, how good is these guitars, these string instruments that are, you know, in theory computerized right off the bat?
Well, some of them are good. The Brian Moore guitars are really great guitars. I can certainly speak for them because I've spent some time with them. And while I'm not a guitarist, the instrument sounds terrific, and the people who are guitarists really love them. The sound out of a lot of the software effects also sounds really terrific. These software amp simulations sound incredible, and you don't even have to be a guitarist to enjoy using them. I've run keyboards and vocals through these things and drum loops through these just as effects packages, and they sound terrific.
Hey, Peter, how do we get more information on your website, what you're up to? Of course, you can get Peter's News every day on OSX FAQ, but how do they get a hold of you? Look at your site.
They head to createdigitalmusic.com, and it's all there. There's stories up every day. And for the book, you can head to realworlddigitalaudio.com.
Wow, the book's got its own site. Very cool. Hey, Peter, thank you so much for joining us. Peter's going to be back on here on a more regular basis. You're listening to Inside Mac. We'll be right back.
Good morning, my good fellow. Welcome to Smith's Computer and Robot Repair. How may I be of service?
Yes, my Mac has crashed. Big time. I was about to save the annual report when...
My systems are not operating correctly, Tech Tool will always find the problem.
Excuse me.
Quiet, you platinum-plated nincompoop.
I'm sorry. You were saying? Anyway, my Mac totally crashed, and if I don't get this data back, my boss is gonna freak.
If it were not for Tech Tool Pro, my memory banks would have been lost in...
Silence, you motorized monstrosity!
It is not necessary that I stay here and be insulted.
Wait, robot, don't go. Are you telling me this Tech Tool Pro software can save me a trip to the repair shop?
Affirmative. I kid you not.
Don't listen to him, sir. No software product can match the technical skill and computer savvy of Smith's Computer and Robot Repair.
Baloney. That does not compute.
So, robot, where can I get this Tech Tool Pro?
From Micromat in Windsor, California.
Excellent. Thanks for the info.
You are welcome.
Find out more about Tech Tool Pro by visiting micromat.com.
I need a vacation.
Coast to coast and around the world, Scott Shepard is Inside Mac.
Welcome back to the Inside Mac radio program. This part of the Inside Mac show is brought to you by DVD XDV. If you want to take that content off a MPEG-2 disc, a DVD, and bring it into some editing software to Avid, Apple's Final Cut Pro, iMovie, anything that'll take QuickTime, or any of the format at that, you can save it as anything. Check them out, DVDXDV.com. That was very cool. We just had Peter Kern on. Peter is the creator of Create Digital Music. With a report from the National Association of Music Marketers there in beautiful Anaheim, right next to Disneyland. So they had a big music show with all the great new stuff. We didn't have a chance to touch on with Peter that we will. Next time we had him on, there was a bunch of new instruments too, and there's even some new MIDI wind instruments and some more stuff escalating here in the electronic music arena. So that's pretty cool. Like he said, you can check out Peter's site at createdigitalmusic.com. Couple other stories here in the news. Like we said, Linda's doing the training for Aperture now, so you can check out that deal. Pretty cool. Not really a lot of other things really cooking. There's been other some rumor stuff, but we don't want to go into the rumor deal. But otherwise, Unreal Tournament has 2000, Unreal Tournament 2004 now has announced they're going to do universal binaries. So I think you're going to see a lot of gaming now come to the Mac because of the Intel processor base. It's going to be easy for developers to take their game written basically for a PC. It already has Intel code, and then wrap it around the Mac deal and let it roll. So that'll be pretty interesting. I think the gaming deal is going to get even better on the Mac here coming up. So that's cool. Apple's also posted a new game trailer for the Tiger Woods PGA Tour 2005 to its website. So that's pretty cool. If you're into the game deal. Also, Macworld UK reported that Apple is confirmed to have taken the number one spot in Western European education market. Now up to 15.2%. Replacing Dell that has 14.7%. So that's cool that our friends overseas are taking the Apple for what it's worth and replacing their heathen boxes with the good quality stuff that they can teach on and have less problems with and less support. So that's pretty interesting. Europe goes to 15.2%. Hey, I'd like to thank the guests of the Inside Mac Radio Show today. We had Philip Hodges doing the Digital Production Buzz News, Andy Shallett with his Mac Design Out of the Box Tip of the Day talking about fonts, Sam Levin doing his Cool Mac Picks. We talked with Kevin Ames, the legendary digital photographer from Atlanta, Georgia, talking about some new books, some class he's been up to, and just the cool digital photography stuff in general. In the second hour, we had Ben Wilmore. Ben is the king of Photoshop when it comes to digital photography. Ben is now going on the road. So you can check his place at whereisben.com, his new blog for his mobile adventures in life. We had Lorene Romero on talking about the Inside Mac party that we just wrapped up here at Macworld. Adrian Mayo talked about his brand new Unix book, the author from Inside Mac Press. Check that out. You can go to Inside Mac Radio or basically go to osxfaq.com, and all the stuff that Adrian's up to is right there on the front page. And then we had just talked with Peter Kern. Peter is the creator of createdigitalmusic.com. This is a website that gives you really in-depth information on what's going on in the digital creation of music. Peter is a professor at one of the universities there in New York City, plays gigs during the week at night. He's a great musician. It's pretty interesting stuff he's up to, so I would check his site out at createdigitalmusic.com, and I'd like to thank the sponsors of the Inside Mac Radio program. We had Micromat, makers of TechTool Pro 4, MCE Technologies, the place for Macintosh SuperDrive upgrades, our buddies over at DVD-XDV, the software for pulling content off a MPEG-2 DVD, and our marketing partners, our media partners for Inside Mac, Creative Pro, Mac Update, of course, the official printer for the Inside Mac Show, Printing for Less, and our buddy Philip Hodges, the digital production buzzmeister. You can check his show out Thursdays, 6 to 7 p.m. on the web at digitalproductionbuzz.com. I've been your host, Scott Shepard. We'll be back with you next week with more cool stuff about your Mac, more information about your Macintosh lifestyle, and all things considered. You can find out more information about what we're up to either at iTunes at iTunes.com, or you can go to InsideMacRadio.com.